Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show, everybody, to a live edition here of Journey into the Light. I am your host, Michael Long, and we're set for a really great show. And we call our 9 o'clock shows. What I mean is my times are always Eastern, what I put out there. 9 o'clock Eastern are showcase shows now on Journey into the Light. And tonight we have one of the premier psychic mediums up in Lilydale, New York, of course, the spiritual Mecca here in the U.S. And Greg Keene is our guest tonight. And Greg is going to be taking your phone calls. That's right, your phone calls for psychic readings. And so call into the phone number, 347-884-8245, and then press the 1 on your phone to come aboard, okay? Greg has been part of Journey into the Light basically all 9 years. And Greg's readings are so not just accurate, but Greg will be bringing in just a lot of great information that you didn't even ask for, that you didn't even think of. It's truly amazing. And the reason we call our 9 o'clock shows on Journey into the Light, which has been on the air almost 10 years now, and we constantly take your calls for free readings. We do the 9 o'clock show. We call it now our showcase show. And the reason we call it our showcase show is because we dedicate this one show out of the whole day for our homeless mission, Love in Action. It's all about helping the homeless, people less fortunate than ourselves. And really, that's what spirituality is, I believe. And I know a large majority of you guys listening to me right now believe that also, about helping people that, you know, are less fortunate than us. And I tell you, I work with the homeless people. I go out to the streets. I talk to them. I sit with them. And one of the things that has happened to our society that is really sad, and I posted a video yesterday up there that ABC News made, and it was done with the help of Richard Gere, the actor who's a big advocate of the homeless. And the video was about how the homeless have become invisible in today's society, and they took relatives and see if this was true. And they put relatives and dressed them up like homeless, and they put them somewhere on the street where their loved one would walk by, and not one of those relatives recognized their loved one. Even one husband didn't recognize his wife of 30 years. Why? And it's because we as a society, like I said, the homeless are like invisible. And I know that's so true, because the first time I was sitting with some of the homeless and I was just talking, and people were walking by on the sidewalk, and I noticed how they didn't even look at me. They didn't even, you know, like we weren't even there. And when I go and I speak to and go and visit the homeless, the ones, who don't know me yet, they're just shocked that I'm stopping by to help them. Their first reaction is of defense, like, you know, I'm going to do something bad. And I would say probably the very first reaction is that I'm not going to even notice them. And they're shocked when I go and say, hey, I want to help you. And just like Burles, who we helped, Burles, who was homeless since the age of 14, because his parents kicked him out of his home because he wanted to go to church. He wanted to get closer to God. When he was 14 and he's been homeless all these years, and now he's close to 70 years old and he's on the streets of Oklahoma City. And you know what he did when a big thunderstorm came by, almost a tornado with winds up to 100 miles an hour with big baseball-sized hail? Jump in a dumpster, a filthy dumpster at 2 in the morning to escape and hopefully survive. And when I heard that, I just knew we had to do something to help him. And we were able to locate an apartment / garage where now he's in there for the whole year and longer. And he has now running water, electricity, a fan, and even a TV if he wants, which he says he don't want anything to do with. But, you know, that's what it's all about. So on this show tonight with Reverend Gregory King from Lilydale, it's a honor, it's a benefit for the homeless mission. So if you want to donate and you're not calling in, awesome. If you're calling in to get a reading, we ask you to please, at this time, go to the GoFundMe link that's on the show page and donate $20. Or if you can do more, awesome. And why do we say $20? Well, the reason for that is because $20 will give a homeless person a room for at least the night where they can at least shower up, get clean, get cool, especially today in Oklahoma City. It's 100 degrees out. And give them at least a rest for one night. And I think that's the least we can do, right? Now, if there's some people out there who just can't donate $20, like you can't even buy a private reading for $20, like you just don't have the money, you know, here on Journey in Light, we have you covered. We do hours and hours of nothing but free readings. And we have for the last 3 to 4 hours today, okay? And we're on every day, so we got you covered, okay? But for this one show that we do, we do that for the benefit of our homeless mission, Love in Action. So as we start the show tonight, we say a prayer that you know, the homeless are helped, and that tonight is a beautiful show, that, you know, God may touch this show and touch our work and touch everybody that is here in an understanding of what we're doing and the meaning of it. And I'm going to start the show with a beautiful song that really touches what we do here and on spirituality and Journey into the Light. Because a lot of times we will ask, you know, everybody listening can relate to this. We will ask, like, why is there homeless? Of course, you know, but we'll ask God, why is someone sick? Why do they have Alzheimer's? Why does someone embrace as a child? You know, and this song called God's Will by Martina McBride is beautiful. Right after the song, we're going to go to Greg Keane and your calls. So at this time, it would be a great time to go to the link on the show page and make your donation of $20 so we can bring your call in to the show to speak to Greg. And here is our start of our show. Will don't walk too
won't talk too good. He won't do the things that the other kids do in our neighborhood. I've been searching, wondering, thinking, locked and looking all my life. I've been reading, writing, praying, fighting. I guess I would be still. Yeah, that was until I knew God's will. Will's mom had to work two jobs. We'd watch him when she had to work late, and we'd all laugh like I hadn't laughed since I don't know when. Hey Jude was his favorite song. At dinner he'd ask to pray, and then he'd pray for everybody in the world but him. I've been searching, wondering, thinking, lost and looking all my life. I've been
King from Lilydale, and Greg's going to be taking your calls. So dial on into the number 347-884-8245. Once you've called in, press the 1 on your phone to come aboard. There you go. So we're glad you are here. If you have any questions for please shoot them to me on Facebook or I'll be coming to you in the screening room as well. And if you want to contact Greg, Greg does private sessions. Greg's information is right here on the show page with the website, and also phone number is listed here also on the show page, which will be given out later on into the program as well. So let's go ahead and bring on Greg King to the show. Welcome back, Greg.
Thank you. How you been, Michael? What's going on?
Okay. How are things there in Lilydale?
Things are wonderful. I'm getting a lot done. I'm getting a new garage door on my garage, and I'm getting a bunch of stuff done and painting the porch and just really working on the house, get the house in order for the summer. We open on the 30th, and 30th of June, we'll be wide open and up and running. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right.
I hope
some
of the visitors can make it over.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. It's always a great summer in Lilydale, I'm sure. I wish I could get over there.
Well, it'd be fun if you're able to come. I think you'd thoroughly enjoy it. I've had some people showing up that have gotten here before season. They've gotten readings, and they love it, and they like being here. And I've had a number of people that have talked about the show, and they heard me on your show, and they're interested in your show, and they're interested in other people that are on with you, and it's been good.
Well, great. Great to hear that. Great to hear the connection there. What's your thoughts, Greg, of all the, yesterday we had the shooting in D.C. And you got all those things going on in London. And what's your thoughts on all that?
Well, I think one of the things is there's a lot of people out there getting really fed up that the people that are in power take for granted that they have their paycheck, they have their insurances, they have their security, and they, to some degree, I'm sure some are really good, but to some degree, they're very self-centered and they take care of them, and whatever they vote on and do, it takes care of them or they don't want to be bothered. And I find that people are getting really, really disturbed at that. I hear the scuttlebutt of people, just normal people talking, and not that they're making threats, but they're commenting on the idea that it's like, you know, you should get them all out of here. And, you know, and they're talking about the idea of senators, congressmen, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. And that they're putting this energy out there that it's like, we're not going to put up with them anymore. They're supposed to be there for us, and they're not. And they're supposed to be there to think of the little guy and take care of us, and that's what we voted for, and yet they're not. And I just see that as such a strong energy with so many people. It's become very, very powerful. And I've heard people that normally you would not hear out of them the things they're saying, and here they are really not downing the government, but downing the idea that here's all these people that are supposedly there for us, that in some ways they're proving that they're not there for us at all. And I've heard so many statements from people that would say, you know, they should have the insurance we have. They shouldn't have anything better. And it's like, this is really an underground surfacing thing that's coming up more and more now. And I really feel that also we're not doing as well in the economy as they're attempting to portray. And people talk about, you know, homes and prices of homes, and they're doing all these things. You know, I'm in an area up here in Dunkirk and Fredonia and Lilydale, New York, and there's areas up here that really are not doing real well in a sense of businesses and finances and all that. And I hear it from people that, you know, they're getting really disturbed at the idea that this has been going on, and they're really frustrated with it. So it's like that's going to be one of the major things. And when you're talking about people that, you know, for example, are homeless, you know, I know about that here. When I was living in Ohio, I had four different organizations that I went with and I worked with, and I was a volunteer there many, many times and worked with a lot of homeless, worked with a lot of people. So it's like that's something there that I think is pretty powerful, and that's where politically, you know, they're going out and playing baseball games and having fun, and there are people on the street that are not eating, and there's other people that actually are working very hard, and here they are in a position where they're going to lose their home, they're going to lose their income, and look at all the things going up in prices. I mean, there's so many things going up in prices now. You know, I find it amazing.
Yeah, I think
the
that's
common man
right on.
Is going to really backfire.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Really going to backfire on them.
Mm-hmm. I agree, because they, you know, they say that the senators and all them say, especially Republican ones, they said, yeah, the threats have really increased the last couple of months. And I'm not advocating, and I don't think it's right to do what happened yesterday. I would never say that. But what did they think when you're taking away someone's health care and you're stripping it away, and people depend on that. I know I do mine, and, you know, so what do they expect?
I just had a medicine that I take that when I first went up there with the script, they told me it'd be $400 a month. And there's no way in the world I'm going to pay $400 a month. You can't. And I see that as something that I watch all these things going on that are just so ridiculous. And people don't even think about it at times. You know, they just keep going and doing whatever. And I think people are getting really fed up. And, you know, I certainly wouldn't advocate what they're doing and shooting at people and all that stuff. But I look at the reason why they're doing it. And truthfully, I understand why they're doing it. They're rolling along in their lives, and they've got nothing bothering them, and there's no problem at all. And they make all the money they could possibly work with and spend. And then they turn around and, you know, well, this is the health care bill. Well, you know where it is and what it is. It's stripping us of any security that we at one point thought we had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I see that coming really strong, where I feel there's going to be a lot of rebellious energy. And it's really rebellious energy. And I see some people getting a little further out on the rebelliousness, and they're not going to put up with it. They're going to start exploding and coming off of things that people would be surprised at. You know, you can only push people so far and expect them to be passive and just go along with the program. And I see this country, for the most part, a huge amount of people have done that and gone along with the program. And I certainly don't advocate, you know, the violence and guns and all that stuff. But I look at the reasons why these people are that upset. It's like, I felt it's a wake-up call. People have ignored that in power for a long time. They're going to reach a point where they're not going to be able to ignore it. And it's sad if it has to be a violent energy. But they're going to have to wake up and get back to the point of being there for everyone that they should be there for.
Yeah. Right. And they talk about, you know, lowering the rhetoric. Well, you know, it starts with the commander in chief. I mean, no wonder there's such high rhetoric. Ever since he started campaigning, he's ratcheted up the rhetoric and said awful things about everybody except himself. And it's obvious where it comes from or where it starts.
Well, I think it's really sad because, you know, when I was a child, I had this happen when I was just a little kid. My father was watching TV, and I come into the room, and I thought we'd watch something else. And I was just a little kid. I mean, I must have been 6, 7. And I walked in, and I'm sitting there on a pillow, and I'm watching them talk back and forth, who was there. I forget now who the people were. But I said to him, I said, Dad, can't we watch this other show? And he goes, well, these are men that are going to run the country, and you know, we have to vote for them, and we have to know what they're going to do and choose the best one. And I'd sit there and listen to quite a few things that were questions, you know, people were posing to them. And I looked at Dad, and I said, but Dad, this one lied about this, and this one lied about that, and that one lied about that. And I went right down the line, and it's like they're lying about these things. Who wants to believe them, and why would you want to vote for them? And my mother stuck her head around the corner in the kitchen, and she looked at my dad, and she says, I got to hear this answer.
Yeah, I bet.
So, you know, you look at all those things and you realize that I'm sitting there, you know, even as a child, as a medium, I'm picking up on all this energy, and it's like these people are lying through their teeth. But yet they're supposedly the ones that are going to be the savior and help everyone, and it's like, there's something wrong with that picture.
Right. Right. Yeah.
That's like we have the Republicans, we have the Democrats, we have this, we have that, we have something else. You know what? They're all supposed to be there to help this country grow and progress in a positive and healthy manner. And I really see it as something they're making very unhealthy in many, many ways. They're making it very unhealthy. And it really bothers me to see that because that's something there to me is just so obvious.
Yeah, I mean, when you are doing a new healthcare bill and the bipartisan commission, which is not one side or the other, says over 20 million people are going to lose their healthcare, yeah, that is very negative to a lot of people.
Yeah.
20 million people.
Yeah, I find it interesting that they have guts enough with a straight face to walk up on stage. And this is a good thing. And it's like, oh, my God, what in the world is going on?
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's and I agree with you, too, that, you know, if it continues, it's just and definitely, you know, the one that's lingering in the hospital, we definitely send our prayers, obviously, for his full recovery. But I do remember in the healthcare, you know, that passed the far as the Congress, not the Senate yet, and he was one of the ones that really pushed it and was really just very uncaring. So it doesn't shock me that he was singled out, though, again, I don't advocate that, of course not. But I'm just saying, you know, like you said, you just can't keep pushing people and thinking there's not going to be a reaction when you hurt people. I mean, even the president came out and said a couple of days ago, he said, I don't know why all of a sudden he changed his mind, but he said, yeah, that health care that the Congress passed that I okayed, he said, that's really mean, he said. Well, of course it's mean. You just
think of it this way. People are going to reach a point where they may complain, they may say something, and sad to say, in a way, they're being forced to a point where they're going to say and do something, and it's going to be do something. It's not going to just be talking about it. And I would say that's proof of it. And people live in this bubble reality they're in that they can just do whatever, and because it doesn't affect them, there's really no issue. They have absolutely no issue at all.
Right, exactly. Yep. If it doesn't affect them, they're just totally fine. And lastly, I'll say is, you're so right on that too, is, and I like it how they put these new laws in there that how they could take away pre-existing conditions, but Congress and their families are exempt from this new law. I love it.
Well, my father said something years ago that really made sense to me. He was in World War II. He went through World War II on a battleship. And there was times he was expendable and a whole bunch of things happened in the war. And he said to me, he said, all these senators and congressmen and presidents, and he says, their families and everyone, they don't go to war. He said, if they go to war, he says, they're in some hidden space they're in and they're perfectly safe. He goes, you know, there'd be a lot better decisions if it was mandatory that everyone in Congress and senators and presidents and everybody, their kids are in the Army, whatever form it would be, they're in it, they're out there, and they're on the front lines. And he said, boy, you would see some better decision-making immediately.
Mm-hmm. Right. I totally agree. Greg, how do folks contact you for private sessions?
If they like to reach me for a private reading, I do it over the phone. I do it in person. They can do it through Skype at times, too. And the number to reach me on a phone number level would be 716-595-3529. 716-595-3529. And to reach me over the Internet, my secretary is Laura, and she'll communicate with you either way, whether you're on the Internet or you're on the phone. And the Internet would be www.RevGregoryKeen.com. That'd be RevGregoryKeen.com. And you can call anytime or be on the Internet anytime. Those of you that are thinking of coming to Lilydale, they open on the 30th. And it'll be a really nice energy to enjoy the summer here. I'm so looking forward to it. We've been having at times 80s, and it's just been absolutely gorgeous. But this has been such a wonderful energy, and I hope everyone gets to one day visit and enjoy the healing. We have a healing temple here, and we do healing all the time, laying on of hands. There's twice a day, 10:30 and 7 o'clock at night. And we also have three message services that go on. And we have that at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and we have it at 4 o'clock, and we have it at 5:30. And it's open-air messages for people to come in for free. They can sit down and listen to the medium's work. If they're drawn to someone they want to make a private appointment, they can. In Fellowship of the Spirit, I teach a class every Wednesday night. And every Wednesday night, it's mediumship and meditation. And I work with that all the time. We just had that last night and had a wonderful time. We had a great time with it. Nice group of people. But I feel that that's something that really brings you to a better center and balance. And as you were talking about the prayers and the thoughts going out for the homeless and the people that are in need, we have that energy here, and we put that energy out for the world all the time. And one of my little parts of the prayer I would have would be, may I be the beacon of light for others in the world to grow and understand and be in balance and harmony. And may we be the beacon of light that helps others be the beacon of light, that brings a healing energy and the flow of energy of God's presence and Spirit's guidance to our lives.
All right. Beautiful. Thank you, Greg. Thank you. All right. Well, let's go to the phone lines here. And again, if you're called in, press the 1 on your phone, the phone number for the radio show, 347-884-8245. And let's go first to Idaho and Alyssa. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much. How are both of you, gentlemen?
Hi, Alyssa. How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Doing good.
Awesome.
What's your question?
Thank you. Well, I'm curious kind of how you see things going with me health-wise, because unfortunately I'm looking at possibly going on disability due to a car accident I had last year.
Well, I see two things around you here. I want to say, number one, I feel like you have a bulging disc, and there's an area where it's giving you pain and affecting your nerve.
Yeah, I actually have three herniated discs, one in my middle back and two in my lower.
Would you understand disc 4 and 5 would be the lower back? And
yep.
I kept feeling the center back. I don't know what number to call it, but I feel the center back slightly below the shoulder blade.
Yeah, around that area.
And I see Spirit working with you, and I want to say you've been finding recently that someone has offered to you the idea that yoga would help you. Because I see you starting to do some yoga and working with that, which is going to help correct your spine and bring you back into alignment. And I feel like that's going to help immensely, more so than you may realize. And I see that as a huge help. So I want to say, please keep that in mind. I feel like that's going to be a wonderful energy for you and a need for you to follow through on that.
Okay.
And I'm also seeing another energy here. Would you recognize there was an argument that was going on for a while that they didn't really want to, in a financial way, take care of things in the manner they should have, and now you've got them to the point where they have to do it and they know it?
Yes, I've kind of gotten to the point where the surgeons don't want to do anything because of my age. I'm too young. And so I'm pretty much the best that I'm going to be. So at this point, we're moving forward with the lawsuit against the guy who hit me.
Well, I'm seeing you moving forward a lawsuit. I see you winning. Do not back down. Do not give up. I see more settlement there than you dreamed of at this time, or what they have may said to you that would be a possibility. I see more than that. And I feel you're deserving of it. It's a circumstance you're going to be able to do well with. And I see it really helping you the rest of your life. And you need to have it in your name and your name only. And no one has access to it but you. And I feel the energy there is going to work for you in a very nice way. And I'm seeing you also having a circumstance occur very shortly that you're going to have someone that on a disability level is going to really push it. But I see someone pushing it for an overall settlement beyond the disability. Not just the disability, but beyond the disability.
Okay.
See, in other words, you're still going to get taken care of in your disability, but yet I see an ongoing level of them taking care of finances. They're not going to like doing it, but they're going to have to.
Okay, so I probably made the right choice with the lawyer that I chose.
I see you getting the right choice for the lawyer, and I feel he's a shark.
It's funny you say that. My chiropractor calls him a pit bull, so that
mm-hmm.
makes me happy.
Because I see that kind of energy that I would agree, when he gets a hold of a bone there, he doesn't let go. He'll stay on it. And I know you're going to be all right, and I also feel success in you having your settlement, you having the idea of what would be ongoing, not just the idea of one-shot deal here, but I see that working for you. And I feel success around this, and I'm also seeing you physically doing better and feeling better. It's going to take a little while for you to regain all the energy to the degree and the way that you feel you need to, because I feel right now you don't have the stamina.
No, I actually work full-time, and I can't keep up with it, and that's why I'm looking on going on disabilities. I can't do it anymore.
Well, I'm going to say it this way. In one hand, you're a very proud person. It's very determined, and you don't want to give up on anything. You want to keep right on going. And I want to say, allow yourself the convenience and comfort of the disability. It's going to help you, and then you're going to see where you heal better and heal more. And I could see a big change of help for you in a sense of you physically having to be aware of where your limits are, but yet I could see you functioning smoother and better.
Do you feel like I'll have to move, or that it's better for me to move away from where I currently am in order to heal?
I feel you at one point in the near future look at the idea of moving. I don't feel a problem with moving. I just see an energy with you that it's going to be a healing energy, and that's what I'm seeing you coming into, is the healing energy to bring balance to where you want to be.
Awesome.
And you You just recently finally got it lined up to get another car?
No, actually my car is fine. I mean, they did the repairs on it and everything, so my car is good.
Would you recognize the car is good, but would you also recognize here they were attempting to short you on the idea of cutting it all off right then? It's like the car's done, you're fine, that's it, we're done?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did that a lot. They were trying to say that the amount of damage.
Well, I know you're going to be okay, and I want to say, God bless you. You're going to be fine. Hang in there. I don't see you giving up on a thing.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. You've definitely given me some peace of mind.
God bless you, dear. Good luck.
You as well. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care. Take care, my friend.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. All righty. We're here with Greg King from Lilydale. And if you're called in, 347-884-8245. And then press the 1 on your phone to get a reading. We're going to go next here, Greg, to your old stomping grounds of Ohio, and bring Barry into the show.
Hello, Greg.
Hey, Barry. How you doing?
Good. How are you, stranger?
And, hey, my God.
Yeah, I know. I'm retired now, and I've never been so busy.
Yes. That's wonderful.
I've been trying to get to Lilydale now for 3 years, and I haven't made it yet. So I always have hope.
Well,
anyway,
let me know when you're coming up, because that'd be wonderful to get hooked up again here.
Yes, it would. Well, what do you see in general coming up here for my health and my wife's health and such? Anything important I should be aware of?
Well, I feel an energy with your wife, and I feel her back has bothered her, one hip, and I feel sometimes I get a weird sensation in my leg.
Okay. She had a knee replacement.
Can't hear you.
Okay. She had both of her knees replaced.
Okay.
And she is improving in her health here. She's changed her diet, and it seems to be making some progress. So
I see improvement there, and I know she'll do better, because I see a better energy overall, And I see it taking her time to build the stamina that she really needs.
Okay.
Because I see the stamina, something that's bothering her a bit. There's times I'm seeing her having better stamina, then there's times I'm seeing her feeling like she doesn't have the stamina. But I see improvement, and I think she'll be doing better. Also, I kept seeing you working with astrology, and I feel like you're going to have more going on with that than you can ever believe.
Yes, you know, that's one thing I've been trying to do is keep a low profile, especially with all the stuff going on in the world. Because, you know, they really want to cry on your shoulders, and it's like there's nothing you can do except tell them you're just a messenger. And, there's a lot of ugly things coming up or difficult times coming up. And you're right, from what I could see in the stars, about the economy getting very difficult the last 2 years of Trump's administration. The stars do predict a big downturn in the economy at that time.
Yes. And when it's a downturn, it's going to be a downturn.
Yes, they've compared it to back to 06 and 07 when the housing market collapsed, is what the astrologers have said.
Yes.
Pretty much that picture.
Well, you're certainly on track with what I'm feeling, because that's what I've been feeling, is those energies are going to switch and get pretty drastic, and it's really going to shake people up some to think that the way things will go are going to be a situation that he did. You know, the president's going to have a difficult time with that, because he wants to project what he wants to project instead of the reality of what he has at hand.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, this chart
does
indicate those things.
I felt an energy with you that I want to say, be a little aware of your back bother you a little bit at times.
Okay.
Just be cautious with overdoing something that you're not always used to doing, and I don't want to push it where I end up having it bother me more. There's no need for that.
Okay.
And you've been having some thoughts recently that you really have stepped back a bit. How old is your brother?
My younger brother is, he's 51.
Would you recognize recently he's actually got himself into a situation where now he has to deal with things in a better way, and he doesn't really have much of a choice here. I mean, he's having to get it together, let's say. And I feel that's going to push him a lot. He's not going to like it, but I see it pushing him a lot that he really has to get a handle on things.
Okay.
And you've been having a thought recently of going back and going over some notes and some papers. There's a gentleman up in Cleveland, Ohio, that's past the spirit now, and he was very good with the astrology. And I feel with him, there's things you have of paperwork from the past that I want to say, let's look at what he was seeing, and I feel you're going to find where it fits in now.
Okay, I understand that.
And it's going to work very, very well. And I look forward to seeing you in Lilydale here. Please let me know what's going on.
I'd love to. I keep trying. My mental state's saying I want to go to Lilydale, and I just have to get a couple more things in order. And of course, I mean, I'd like to make it up there this year, but I'm going to try very hard.
Well, that's wonderful. Any other question?
No. Since I'm retired and... I know I'm going to work like part-time or something like that. And so sometimes I'm trying to keep a low profile, but it's really difficult because now I have people coming knocking on my door since I've changed my phone number 6 years ago. And then they knock on my door and say, "You're still doing readings."
Yeah. Well, I think
that's
wonderful, Barry. I think that's a great energy. And please make contact with my secretary and give me the information of address and phone number, and we'll get together.
Okay, we'll do that, sir. Thank you.
Hey, God bless now. You take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, appreciate your call there, Barry, and your support. And let's go next here for Greg Keene. Let's bring in another great friend here, and we're going to bring Carol in from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Greg. Hi.
Hey, Carol. How you doing?
Hi. This is the first time I'm talking to you. I went through a lot of changes the last 6 months. how do things look for me and my daughter's family? We're real close-knit.
Well, I feel good with you, and I feel you're becoming better in an emotional manner because you had a pretty time there that was incredibly fatiguing to you, and it just about drained you for a while.
Yes, yes. My
husband passed away. And I see you regrouping now.
Okay.
Well, I feel when your husband passed here, would you understand with him that he said to me, he said he reached a point at the end where he wanted to go and not linger anymore.
Yes. I would believe that.
Because
yes.
He was showing me that his organs in his body were shutting down.
Yes. Yes.
And I kept seeing him watching over things with you, and he said he didn't want to have you have to take care of him in a way and degree that for a while you did.
Oh, yes.
And
yes,
he also apologizes for something. He said to me, he said, please tell her I love her. And he said, I was so grumpy.
Oh. Oh. Yes, I understand what you're saying. Yes. Is he there?
And
go ahead.
He's with you. And the warmth I have there with him is he's a good-hearted man.
Yes.
And I see a very kind energy.
Yes.
And I see him watching over things for you and want you to be at peace because he said you gave him such security and you helped him so much.
Oh, yeah, I had to take care of him for about 5 years. Yes, he had bad disease, yes.
Well, he referred to you being the angel, and he said he's so sorry that he got grumpy for you.
Oh.
Because he said it reached a point where he couldn't hold back and hide how he felt. And you could tell he was having pain at times, but sometimes he'd actually tell you, I'm fine.
Yes. Yes.
Because I saw him saying that, and his attitude was, he's going to be fine, you're going to be fine. And his approach was the idea that, you know, I'm all right. I'm really all right.
But he wasn't.
In many ways, he wasn't. But,
yes.
You know, he tried to portray that.
Yes. He acted like he was in pain, but he'd say he was all right. Yes. Oh,
well,
my
Well, he's
goodness.
Certainly with you.
Yeah.
And would you recognize you have his wallet? You've been holding on to his wallet?
Yes.
Because he's showing me that you've been hanging on to the wallet.
Yes.
And he said he wants you to know the clothing that you were picking up and smelling, and you can still smell that he's there yet.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. The other day
and
I thought I
And he smiled, and he said, she didn't tell anybody, but I want her to know I know.
And I dream of him a lot, too.
Well, I feel really a wonderful energy with him. He's at peace on the spirit side. He's
good.
Around you. He watches
yes.
over you. He said to me he's watching over the family.
Okay. Does he, is he picking up anything about my daughter's family? Does he see anything there?
How old is your daughter now?
She's 45. She's married.
Would you recognize there was a difficulty there in a relationship energy with the daughter?
Yes.
Because he said he'd like to be back for about 5 minutes and he'd straighten some things out.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
And would you recognize he found out about the circumstances there and that she didn't admit to you for a while what was going on?
Yes.
And then she finally admitted to you what was going on, but I feel this was right after he had passed.
Yes, very true. She came out
because
then,
he
yes.
said to me, he said she didn't want to say anything for the longest time.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I feel an energy with him. He's there for her. He
okay.
watches over her.
Okay.
And she's taking the steps that she needs to take. And he's,
yes.
you know, the gentleman's not going to like it, but she's taking the steps she needs to take, and she's going to continue taking the steps that she needs to take.
Okay. I know what you're
and
saying.
And I feel it's going to move things forward, and
mm-hmm.
she's going to be fine.
She's
but I
be
feel
fine.
Her getting into a little panic about things, because sometimes she thinks, my God, what's next?
Yes, yes. Yes. How about the grand boys? The three grand boys. Is he picking anything up about them?
The one boy's commented the idea to Mom about him dreaming about him.
Okay.
Because I see one little boy there where he's dreaming about Grandpa.
Okay. I don't know
it's
about
really
that.
It's really a nice energy.
Yeah.
Ask your daughter about it, because I feel the energy there that he's been dreaming about Grandpa, and Grandpa comes to him and calms him down.
Okay. Okay. Oh, my goodness.
And also, would you recognize that she's thinking about moving?
Yes. We've been through that, yes.
I'm sorry, what?
We've been through that. She was moving, then
well,
she wasn't. She wasn't.
I feel this energy that she will make some changes. It will be a move. It's
mm-hmm.
going to end up a good one. It's
mm-hmm.
going to end up being the circumstance she's needed, and she will be fine. And I see it as a huge benefit to her that she's moving forward and doing the things in her life that she needs to do to have the harmony and the calmness that she's really needed to have.
Okay. Okay.
And remember something. Would you understand, you don't have the money in hand to take care of everything for her, and she's really having to make some wise decisions. And sometimes she's had the attitude of making decisions a bit abrupt and a bit too quick.
Yes.
And
yes.
you're not bailing her out of everything. I see her having to face some things and deal with some things now that ultimately are very good. But it's going to work for her in a much, much better manner.
Okay. How about our 14-year-old grandson? Do you pick up anything on him? Chris, his name is Chris.
I see him as a very strong-willed young man that has a very determined energy. But would you understand his attitude would be an attitude of, I'm going to do what I want to do no matter what?
Yes. Yes.
Because I see this forceful energy with him, and he really gets pretty aggressive with the attitude because, in his mind, I'm going to do what I want to do. It doesn't matter what you think. I'm just going to do what I want to do.
Okay.
And I feel the mother is having to really crack down a bit on things and put him in a position where, all right, you're going to deal with things in a way that you need to, and it's not going to be a circumstance where he can just do whatever.
Right. Right. Okay.
And I know it'll work because I see Grandpa helping your daughter,
mm-hmm.
and I see them stepping in and helping out a lot.
Okay. Now, how about the 22-year-old? He just left home for a new job. How will that go?
I actually see the new job working really well for him, and
okay.
once he gets himself lined up where he's in and he feels comfortable, and he's
mm-hmm.
learning what he needs to about it, I can see him doing super.
Okay. His name is Mark. He got a job in Louisiana. And my daughter's out there now with him for a week, setting him
well,
up.
Well, I see it coming together. Would you
okay.
understand for his age, he's a little immature?
Yeah. yeah.
Because, I mean, not a bad kid. He's fine. But
no.
a little immaturity there at times.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Well, I get things opening up. I get
okay.
things being better. And
okay.
I feel like he's going to be very successful with what he's accomplishing.
Okay. Okay, that's good. That's good. And Ben's looking over all of them. We're really
yeah.
close-knit. We're really close-knit.
Yeah.
And I will be okay.
Well,
I'll get through
everything.
You're
going to be fine there.
Okay.
I just feel with you, you've got to calm your nerves down.
Yeah, I worry about everybody. Yeah, I do. Yeah. Everybody but myself.
I thought it's going to settle down.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
I
And you
will.
Recently had a glimpse of someone in your home that you thought somebody was there, but you did a double take, and it wasn't anybody there then.
Yes.
I feel he's doing that to get your attention and wants you to realize he's there. And I also feel a woman standing beside him that passed away, that I want to go back to a mother, and I see her helping you.
Okay. The week that he passed away, the week before he passed away, he kept calling Mom. He kept calling Mom. And that's his mother.
Well,
yeah.
That's his mother, and
yeah.
She was there, and she was ready to take his hand and worked with him and guided him, and it's really a wonderful energy.
Yes. Yes. He even
he's in good hands.
Yeah.
She made a comment. She said he was in good hands when he was here, and he's in good hands now.
Yeah. I did. I did think I seen him. I did. I took a double look.
Yeah.
I thought he was sitting at the kitchen table. Yeah.
He wants you to know he's there.
Okay.
And he told me, you've been drinking out of his cup.
Yes. Yes.
Because he's laughing and he says, tell her she's been drinking out of my cup.
Oh, he sees everything.
Well, he loves you, dear, and he's with you, and it's just a wonderful energy.
Okay.
And for you to relax with the idea, they're helping you. Also, would you recognize you have one of his pocket knives?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I just
because
used
he
it.
Told me, he says, she has my pocket knife also, and she's using the pocket knife.
I just used it yesterday. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, that's how much he's around, and he's aware, and he's certainly supportive of you, and he's very happy that you have it and you're using it.
Yeah. 45 years this April we would have been married. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing, dear.
Yep. And we still held hands all the way up to the end. Yep.
Yep.
And
he
in
loves
my
you
dreams,
so much.
And in my dreams, he's always kissing me. That's how I see him, yeah. Oh.
Well, he's with you. He loves you. He watches over you. And it's just a wonderful energy.
Thank
so please
you.
Enjoy.
I will.
Okay?
I will, Greg. Thank you very much.
God
bless you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Michael.
You're very welcome, Carol.
Okay,
take care.
Okay, thanks.
All
see
right,
you on Facebook.
Talk to you.
Yes. Okay, bye.
All right, she's very sweet. Let's go next here, Greg, for Lisa in California.
Hello.
Hi, Lisa. How you doing?
Well, I feel a little bit like your last caller. I'm listening in, and my son, who's 15, is, I feel like he's possessed. He doesn't have a dimmer switch, and those hormones are going crazy. But he has some influences from family members to sass back, and he's taken a turn for a road that I'm not happy about. He's lashing out. With his stepfather and I, and just want to know if we see a light at the end of this tunnel soon.
Well, let me say it this way. His first name, please.
Eokipa.
I see an energy with him of being strong, stubborn, determined, emotionally very sensitive, but yet his sensitivity is only for him and not for someone else. And I feel it's bothering you deeply that at times he can be very uncompassionate in his attitude about things. Does that make sense?
Completely.
And I see him being very angry because literally he does not get what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, and he gets really, really ticked about that.
And that just started. I literally just started.
Well, I'm seeing you stepping back and realizing that you're going to play hardball. You're no longer going to be soft about it and let it all ride. You're going to play hardball. And if he wants to have it the tough way, he can have it the tough way. And it's not a circumstance you're going to go on and put it up with, because you before would have gone on and put it up with it. And now I see reaching a point where it's like, I'm not going to go on and put it up with it.
Right.
Would you recognize in him, the laws and rules of the world, in his mind, does not apply to him?
Hmm. Yeah, since he has contact with his biological father, this has all come about. Yep.
Well, would you understand with the biological father that he's far from the best influence on him?
Oh, yeah. Ex-father.
Because I see a very negative influence, and the father is using that to manipulate the mother and manipulate everybody that he can. And I feel with him, he thinks it's great. He can maneuver everybody.
Narcissistic? Yes.
And would
and
you recognize
my daughter,
with him?
Who's living with him?
Would you recognize with him he's sociopathic? Because I keep seeing a sociopathic energy with him. He likes to create the drama, and he likes to wind everybody up, and then he then becomes the victim to it and presents that someone was doing something to him instead of what he was doing to himself.
Yes. Yes, 20 years of this. Yes.
Now, how old is your daughter?
She's 19 at the moment.
Would you recognize now she's staying with him?
Yes, dead on.
Now, would you recognize staying with him? He has allowed a lot to go on. You would never allow, but he's allowed, because I see him just letting everybody run free and do whatever, and he promotes and supports that because it goes against any natural law and rules that you try to set up.
Yes. Would my sister, one of my sisters and mother be a part of this plan?
Yes. And would you understand, he has manipulated them for a long time, and anything he can do to use them, he will.
Yes. Yes.
And would you recognize your one
yes,
sister, there's been a jealousy there, and you sometimes really wonder why she does what she does?
Every day, yes.
Because I feel like this at times, I mean, you sometimes look at things and think, I don't even know where to put it. It's like just too crazy.
Yes.
Well, I see more balance, and I'm seeing you bringing things to a better balance in yourself. And I'm seeing you stepping back from the son, because he recently said to you he wanted to go live with dad.
Yes. Broke my heart.
I'm going to say it this way. This is the toughest thing in the world for you to do. But I see you reaching a point where if he wants to go ahead and do everything negative he can do, so be it. But you're not going to allow him to emotionally, physically, mentally beat up on you.
Yes.
And I see you gaining strength to not allow yourself to be beaten up, because you have been beaten up, and it's something there that he has no right to be doing what he's doing, and I see him wanting to go stay with Dad. But remember something. Dad, in one way, wants him because he can manipulate him, but on another level, he doesn't want him there at all.
I get that also. He actually kidnapped my daughter and left my son standing on a street corner. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I get the feeling here of your son wanting to go stay with Dad, and I feel it's going to reach a point where you're going to step aside and say, okay, do you make up your mind? You're old enough to do so. This is what you're going to do. And don't come back. Because I see you no longer putting up with the abusiveness of him as well as the other people affecting him, which then on top of that abuses you more. And I'm seeing you beginning to step back enough now and not get drawn into that and have that as an energy that you have to fight all the time. You don't need to. There's no need to.
Okay. So,
all right.
Eventually he will go live with his father, and not come back.
Honey, I'd unpack his bag, and I would ship him to the father and let them figure out what's going on, because, number one, I told Dad really doesn't want him there, but what the lesson really is he's never awoken to that, because Dad tells him a whole storyline about what he wants and how he wants and how wonderful it would be, and they all lie about everything.
Right.
So,
and then
just
he'll come back?
Subtract yourself from the circumstance, let them have to live it out and figure it out, and not be involved in the idea of you trying to fix and rescue, because all you do is make yourself a target, and they start beating up on you, and if they're not beating up on you, somebody else is beating up on you, and, you know, what you're attempting to do is useless at that point, but you can't get anywhere with it.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Ooh, how about my health? I've had a few health scares this year. How am I going to do?
Well, I'm going to be point blank there. I feel like you had a fear at one point you actually thought cancer.
You were correct. I had 12 surgeries for skin cancer, and they did a biopsy for breast cancer, and that was negative.
I feel you're doing good. I feel the skin cancer is something you have to keep an eye on. I see him do a little map about where on your body it's bothered you, and I'm seeing you getting it taken care of, and I don't see a big issue with that. I don't see the internal part of the body as a cancer problem for you. I feel it's just on the skin. Now, I'm not a doctor, can't prescribe, but I sense the energy with you of you coming through this just fine. So let's keep at it. And certainly do the checking and making sure. But I really see you doing better. Also, you had a dream that told you that you were healthy.
If that was the dream I'm thinking of, yes. Yes.
Right.
Because
I saw in the dream, they were showing you in the dream that you were healthy.
Okay. Okay, I feel energetic already just hearing you say that. My current husband and I are going to survive this teenage crisis.
Well, I see the teenage crisis being put out of your life, and you're not going to play the game with him, because I feel it's not only him, but it's Dad, and I feel all the games going back and forth where he's getting a very negative support to be disruptive to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dear, if you're on the playing field, you're playing the game. If you step off the playing field and you completely remove yourself from it, that's what he's wanting to say, I want my independence, I want my independence. But the bottom line really is, I see the two of them having a real problem with each other, meaning the father and the son, and they need to have the problem to figure some things out, and your son needs to have the problems to wake up to reality.
Love it. Great. And my current
husband
and I
been
are
trying,
doing fine.
Well, your husband and you, you're fine. I just feel the craziness around you there. It makes him nuts, and he knows that it's hurting you and upsetting you, and he doesn't want to do something that would be more disturbing to you, but his thought was to pack him up and ship him out.
And my job, something full-time anytime soon? Or
we've got to go to our next caller here, Lisa.
Oh.
We hope that helps. All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you again.
There.
Callers on deck here. Thank you. Let's go here to Mary in New York. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm under the weather, coughing a lot, so excuse me if I end up coughing during this call, but other than that, I'm doing all right.
Good. What's your question?
How about you?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
Weather's getting warm. It's nice out. This is fantastic.
Yeah, it's the beginning of summer, right?
Right.
Yeah, my favorite season of the year.
Well, I get things working for you very well emotionally, because you went through a period of time where it wasn't working very well emotionally, and now I feel like you're stepping back enough from it and not letting yourself be drained by all the circumstances that were there and available to you. And would you recognize you actually stepped back from some people recently, and it felt like I cannot allow them to have the expectations as well as some of the manipulation that at times they've had in the past.
Yes. I would say that that would apply to my parents who recently came for a one-month visit, and I was able to let go of some resentment that I felt towards them. And, you know, I see them not getting any younger, and their vulnerability makes me feel compassion towards them and makes me want to spend more quality time with them, because I don't know how long they're going to be on this planet.
Well, let me say it to you this way. You're learning to love them where you can, when you can, and how you can, without it being a circumstance where you have these resentments and angers and frustrations going on. I see you being able to bring balance to things now that for a while you wouldn't have been able to do. And I feel now you're able to do that, which is fantastic. And I've seen you moving forward even better in an emotional manner. I see you being calmer in an emotional manner and really having things work for you in a way that's surprising you a bit how well it's going to work.
Do you think that this is actually going to also extend to the relationship that I have with my brothers?
One of the brothers, I see you opening up and sharing in a way that you'll be surprised at. There's one brother that I want to say he's a pain in the backside, and you know it, and he's a person that no matter what, if you said right, he'd say left. True?
My goodness. Yes, it's true. It's true. That's my big brother, and I'm hurt by that.
Well, let's say it this way. I feel you're hurt by that, but what I really feel with him is he's jealous of the idea that you have survived and accomplished in life, no matter whether in spite of him or not, you've survived and accomplished in life, and you're going to continue to. And it's something that you're developing emotionally, a better way of handling him, where at times he could be a very negative energy to you and actually quite disruptive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm seeing you stepping back enough now that I'm not going to allow myself to go through that and have that kind of energy going on anymore. I'm learning to love them where I can, when I can, and how I can. But on top of that, I'm learning to detach from certain ones. If they want to be negative and they want to stay in the negative and focus on the negative, so be it. But I don't have to participate. And I feel like you've been really learning that more now.
Yes, and the more calm I can stay, the more I can bring calm to the environment around me. Like when my parents came to visit, they butt heads a lot, but I was able to get them to not butt heads so much around me, even though of course they naturally still do it, but things wouldn't get out of control.
It's a love-hate relationship. Each of them want to be the controlling factor. Each of them feel they have to be the controlling factor. And they get in that forceful mode where no matter what he says, it's wrong. No matter what she says, it's wrong. They would each do it a little different way. They may be doing the same thing in the end, but there's this little bit of I have to be the one in charge.
It's a power struggle.
Yeah. And I'm seeing you being able to neutralize the energy with your thought, your prayer, and your action, and you're going to continue to do so. And I see you loving them where, when, and how, and it'll be fine. And the rest of the family, you know what? I'm offering a wonderful energy. I'm offering a healing energy. I'm offering an openness to share more. And if they respond to that, that's great. If they don't respond to that, God bless them. Somewhere else, preferably further away.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I purposefully chose not to move close to where my brothers live.
Yeah, Yeah, and I think that's wonderful, and that's what you needed to do. Now, there's three brothers?
No, two.
I want to say, would you recognize a time that your mother had a miscarriage?
Yes, you're right. My mother had a miscarriage before she had me. No, not before she had me, but my two brothers, she had a miscarriage.
Well, she had a third boy there, and he passed in that and did not make it to the earth plane and lived on the earth plane like you have.
Okay.
Because I see three brothers and you. One in spirit, two in the living, and you.
Wow, and what's the one in spirit like?
I feel loving, gentle energy. I see him with you to be supportive of you. And he said, the one brother you're never going to change. God bless him. He can be in your prayers, but you don't need to be involved in his energy.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. It's too bad because I always wanted a close family, but I don't think that it's achievable with that kind of personality.
Well, I feel your one brother would be more open, but he's afraid of what everyone else thinks too. And the one brother tries to manipulate the other brother all the time.
Yeah, for some
reason.
You're
going to be doing fine.
I'm sorry?
You're going to be doing fine. And I feel your one brother is going to be more sharing and communicative with you, and the other brother is still going to want to manipulate and play games. I just see you stepping back enough from it that whatever they're choosing to do, they're choosing to do, and you're just not going to get caught up in it anymore.
Yeah, I guess that means fewer family reunions.
Hey, you can have a family reunion. You can say hi and goodbye. No problem.
Yeah,
any other question you have?
Yes, I do have another question related to work. Excuse me. So, yes, that's my coughing. I recently started a new job, and things have been good and bad, I'd say. It's a mixed bag. So, you know, things started off well, very busy, but productive. And just recently, I've had to step back a little bit, too, because I got strange news. And one of them was that, you know, initially, my direct supervisor thought that for the extra time that I spent at work, because we are understaffed and I had to step in for to do something that was an organizational and departmental priority that's not really in my job responsibilities. So
right.
She said, you know, with all the extra time that you're spending, you know, beyond 40 hours a week, you can get comp time. And a new HR person came on board recently and told my direct supervisor that that is not possible because I'm senior staff. But then shortly after that, I was told in a funny way that, you know, I wasn't invited anymore to this senior staff meeting. And I, the way that I found out was by saying, hey, well, you know, it's a little bit late now for us to go into the meeting. Are we going to go in? And she said, oh, well, the meeting has been delayed. And I said, oh, I was notified by Lisa, the president's assistant. I need to talk to her about that. And then my direct supervisor said, well, you weren't notified because this this meeting is not meant for James, the president's direct reports. And I report to the senior vice president. So then I just thought, okay, well, I lost my comp time because I'm senior, and now I'm not senior enough to attend a senior staff meeting. You know, what's up with that? So, you
well,
know,
I
like
I there's a jealousy there because I thought there's one person there at a high level that wants to keep everybody under their thumb, and that you're bright lady and you're handling things well, And I feel there's this person that wants to manipulate everything because he doesn't want one person to know what the other person's doing, so then he can get away with manipulating. And that's exactly what he's doing.
Wait, are you talking about my direct supervisor?
I feel a male supervisor above you is manipulating things. He stepped into a new position. And I feel that whoever this man is stepping into a new position. He's maneuvering things, and he's got everybody lined up where he keeps everybody, I'm telling you this and you that and you that, but he doesn't let everybody know what's going on.
Wait a minute. So my direct supervisor is a female. The senior vice president is female, and she reports to the president, who's male.
Yeah, but who's the male? The male's playing some games. And I feel the male's the one that's put the order down. This is the way it's going to be because he wants to have the full control, and everyone's afraid to say anything to him.
Oh, okay, because, yes, my direct supervisor said that this was coming from James, the president. You know, like the senior staff meeting is meant for his direct reports, and I'm the only senior person on staff who doesn't report directly to the president. And so, you know, I would like to ask my direct supervisor, so what is the policy then for directors? I mean, that's my title. The other directors, my director position seems to be subordinate to the other directors. And so,
I see you asking questions and finding out some answers, but what I feel there is, they don't have the guidelines and rules, and they don't know what they're doing, and they have no excuse to do what they're doing, and they're not sure how to handle it. And your people just above you don't want to say or do anything because they don't want to be in the middle, and they don't want to say the wrong thing. And that's where you're at now is questioning me. It's like, wait a minute here. What's the deal?
Yes, because it's not an equitable situation.
Right, and that's why I'm seeing putting them in a position where they have to decide what they're doing and quit playing the games.
So how do you think I should go about doing this? Because I already requested to move from my cubicle into an office after the office is freed up when the consultant leaves at the end of this month. And my direct supervisor said that it's fine with her as long as there's no other plans for the organization to use that office for any other purpose.
Well, I felt an energy there that you have some male chauvinism there, and the females under the male chauvinism is trying to go right along with everything, and I don't feel this guy knows what he wants to do. And he likes being in control, and he likes having women be subservient, whether it's in a job position or whatever. There's a subserviency there, and that's what he's doing. We have other people on the line there, and I know we can go on longer, and I know we need to move on to someone else, too.
Okay, so then how is it that I can position myself can read it?
Well, what I see you doing there is getting them in a position where they have to reach a point of coming up with a valid guideline and rule, where I feel you gain the position you've gained, and it's very valid, but I see this guy wanting to control everything. And he didn't like the idea of you having the ability to know what's going on and that you work that hard to accomplish things. He wants control.
Oh,
he's
so
defeating
he's
himself and moving forward. He's defeating
himself. Light. I'm sorry. Sorry, say that again. I didn't hear.
He's defeating himself with his own control.
Okay, we really do have to get on to another call here. Mary, we do thank you for your call.
Okay, thank you.
God bless, dear. Take care.
Okay, bless you too. All right, take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, let's go to our final call of the evening, and let's bring in Melvin from Georgia. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, Michael. Thank you.
Hey, Melvin. How you doing?
Hey, Reverend Greg, I'm doing pretty good, I guess. Yes, sir. I just want to ask you a question.
I feel you've had some changes where things have been improving for you, And you've had some things work for you now that you see you were surprised at.
Oh, okay.
And I feel good about that. I think that's been a helpful energy for you. But I'm seeing you getting calmer and not be as wound up as you were, because people don't realize it, but you were really wound up for a while.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. And I just want to ask you two quick questions, if I may.
Go ahead.
Okay. I just want to next Thursday, I have to have surgery on my left knee, and because it's injury-related on my job. I got injured back in July of last year, and it's been next month will be a year. I injured my left knee, my lower back and hip, and my left arm. And now they're scheduling me on the 22nd for surgery. And I just want to know how the surgery will go. Will it be a good success, and will I recover?
I see you recovering just fine. I don't see a problem with that at all. You're going to move through that nice and smooth. I see the recovery. The big thing I feel with you is to take time to allow the healing energy to occur, because I see you having a hard time sitting still.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And how long would I be off work after this surgery? Because this work was comp-related, and I do have an attorney. So how long would they – the doctor said it was going to take 3 months for me to heal, but I don't know how long I would be off work, because I sit to the front of a department.
Well, the energy I'm feeling there is I see you having the ability to have disability for a bit while you're healing, and I feel you're going to have what you're needing that way. And then I feel you'll be able to go back to work in a limited manner, and it's not going to be all at once, but I see a limited manner, and I see then rebuilding your physical energy and the stamina also. So you're going to be back on track. But I feel it's going to take a little while to do so.
Okay. All right. Well, also, like, do I need to, would there come a time, how far off I am with selling with this company financially? And will I get, like, you know, a real happy settlement?
I see a good settlement out of it. I see you doing the settlement. I feel very comfortable that you're going to get things settled for you, and you're not going to have it left lingering. I feel like you're going to get it settled.
Will it be a good substantial amount that I'll be satisfied with?
Yes, I see a good amount there for you, and it's going to work for you in a good way. You're going to be fine.
Okay, after that, will I be, like, going back to work at full capacity, or will I just go and take be on disability, just retire.
Well, I don't see you completely retiring at this point. I feel like you're going to be able to get disability, and I see disability being a security for you, and I feel that you're going to be able to work with that more, and I feel you're going to be allowed to work a certain amount, but you certainly couldn't do all of what you used to do.
Right, right. Would they make me a security guy at this job, or will they cut ties with me after the settlement and I find another job or something, just doing something basic?
I see another job that's going to be easier for you, and it's going to function well that you can enjoy doing it.
What type is it?
I'm sorry?
What type of job would that be?
I'm not sure what it is. I just see a new job in front of you. I see you making money. And I'm seeing you be able to do it where it's pretty easy. It's not something overstressing you.
Okay. Is there some kind of scandal going on there at the job that they're trying to pull me in?
I felt at one point they were, but you're outside of that now, and you're not there to be involved, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, what kind of scandal is that? I mean, it's a lot goes on at night with the employees, and I'm getting bad feedback with employees and with the management, and it's just a lot of complaints there, and it's a lot of drugs at night and doing
stuff
at night.
Well, I feel a lot of dishonesty there, and I see some people playing some games that are really nasty, And I'm seeing you better be glad you're out of there right now. You don't have the involvement of being there. And I want to say stay away.
They want me to stay away.
Because I see a lot of games going on you don't need to be involved in.
Okay. Would those people be caught?
I feel they'll get caught, yes.
Okay. Last thing here. Last thing. I just want to ask, like, do you see a relationship with a nice woman coming to me anytime
soon? I see meeting someone that's a nice person you'll enjoy, and I feel something that's very positive. And I just feel an energy with you that you need to stop doubting, because sometimes you doubt whether things are going to work or not work, and you really feel down about it. And they're saying you need to have the positive energy here and not let yourself be so drained.
Yeah, that's true. I worry a lot. Yeah, I got to work on that big time. And
When is your surgery?
The 22nd of next Thursday of this month.
Next Thursday, okay. Now, let me say this. I feel that we can work with that, and I know, you're going to have friends around you here, and Michael also. We can put out the thought and prayer for you and keep working with the energy and the thought and prayer to bring the balance and the harmony in your life and your health. And you're going to come out okay.
Okay. I appreciate that. I definitely appreciate that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good luck with that.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, take care, Melvin.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Michael. I love both of you all.
Take care. We love you, too.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Alrighty, Greg.
Thank you. Take care.
Alrighty.
You're welcome,
Greg,
Michael.
Thanks for coming on. And, great show. And,
thank you.
Yeah, have a good Sunday. And, okay, we'll see you on the next show, Greg.
Hey, God bless now. Take care.
Okay, take care. God bless. All righty, everybody. That's Greg Keene. Again, you can find Greg at his sites here right on the show page, phone number, website. And we do thank Greg for staying extra tonight. And that's going to do it here. I'm going to be off then for Friday and Saturday, I believe. And then we'll have a special Father's Day show at 9 Eastern Sunday with the Divine Medium, Christina Watts. And that's going to do it here for me. I want to thank you all for being here and have a good night.